Dr. Lauren Kustein is a clinical psychologist, author, educator, and activist. She's here to talk about surviving after the election and give us her spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Lauren.
Hi. Great to be here. Thank you for having me, Charlotte.
First of all, tell us about your work with LGBT affirmative psychotherapy.
So I've been basically working with this modality for over 10 years. And it's been around for about 30, but not a lot of therapists know about it. Actually, not a lot of people in our community know about it. And I think that's something that I'm trying to raise awareness around, because it's really targeting the specific trauma that LGBTQ folks experience growing up in a heteronormative, heterosexist society full of all kinds of phobias, right? Lesbian phobia, biphobia, homophobia, transphobia, queer phobia. So the idea is, this is a traumatizing world to grow up in. When you go to a specific kind of therapist that works on the affirmative approach, you learn about what it's like to grow up in a heterosexist society, how that affects you. Then you learn about the different phobias, how that affects you. Then you learn about how you internalize these messages into your psyche. They go into your unconscious, and then that affects how you talk about yourself and how you feel about yourself. And then that's translated in all kinds of unconscious ways: addiction, low self-esteem, suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety, all of these things that we actually have higher rates of than our heterosexual counterparts. So by 25%, almost across the board on all kinds of issues, from addiction to mental health issues to depression, suicide ideation, so on and so forth. So it really is a trauma-based approach of healing the issues that we've had growing up in this kind of a world. And it also looks at being invisible as well. So there's the overt trauma. There is the idea that we are overtly stigmatized and discriminated against in our families, in our schools, in our churches, in our towns, whatever, wherever someone's grown up. And then also just being invisible in media and pop culture. Now, of course, it's getting better. We know it's getting better. But for the most part, it is a heterosexually oriented society, and everything is created for the heterosexual people. So we don't see ourselves mirrored very often. And that also has a very negative effect on how we feel about ourselves. So the affirmative approach looks at all of this specifically, educates about it, helps heal around it, and then it's extremely empowering. And someone's self-esteem and self-worth and feelings of self-love can grow through this approach.
What advice can you offer our community dealing with the aftermath of this election?
So first of all, most of us are in intense amounts of grief. And I would say that the first thing we need to do is honor that grief. And then, you know, it's a really good opportunity to actually study about grief if you'd like to. But grief is a process. It's not a linear kind of activity that goes from A to B, even though there are stages of it, from shock and denial to anger and depression to finally acceptance. But the point is that it's a very important part of what we're all going through, because it's shocking news, it's very scary news, and we all have our feelings around it. And I've seen a lot of different postings out there or articles or advice from thought leaders saying, you know, don't feel your feelings, we need to get strong right away. And I think that's not always the best way to go about it, because if we start repressing the feelings we're having, they're just going to come out sideways. Our feelings are our feelings, and they exist no matter what, whether we like it or not. And it can come out in, you know, drinking more or food or lashing out at people or things like that. And so to be able to try to avoid that and not become self-destructive, if you just sit in the feelings, no matter what they are, as much as you can possibly tolerate, they will actually dissipate. It's when we avoid them that they stay longer, if that makes sense. So it's really this idea that when you're feeling very, very sad, just allow yourself to feel that sadness in as mindful a way as you possibly can. And through that, you'll see that it will move, it will change, it will shift. And it might come back again later, or you might start feeling anger a couple days later, and to just honor that and feel it and try to hold on as much as you possibly can to yourself in that moment, and try not to lash out at people and take it out on others. I know that may be hard. This is one of the most enraging things that's ever happened, and I know everyone is feeling a lot of anger. But if you can kind of hold on to yourself as much as possible, that will also shift and change and move. And I think this is going to take us a long time. I mean, it really is. But if we honor this process, we will get through it. And through that, we will become really strong and empowered, which we're already seeing as well. You know, we're seeing it through the marching and the demonstrations, and the reaction to the election results is something I've never seen before, which is extremely, you know, empowering and exciting, because with this is going to come change. But we also need to honor what we're feeling.
Have you had an increase, more of a demand for services since the election?
Yeah, so basically there's definitely been an increase in demand of services, and everyone that I work with, and I spoke with a lot of my colleagues as well, last week seeing our clients was one of the most distressing weeks we've ever had as clinicians. I mean, everyone in the LGBTQ community and women came in distressed and feeling all this grief I was just describing. And it was just a week of extreme pain. And I know that every clinician is going through this right now with their clients. So yes, it's a very high distress period for all of us. Now we're going into the holiday season, and everyone is sitting with the fear and the anxiety around what's going to happen, and where is this new administration going to take us, and what's going to happen to all of our rights. And so the anxiety is extremely high. The fear is very high. And so it's such an important time to stay connected to your therapist and your community and get as much support as you possibly can right now. Because with the holidays coming upon us, with this news every day of, you know, what, you know, new administration is going to be doing, it's a very, very anxiety-provoking time.
In a Trump administration, how should our LGBT community cope with the overwhelmed feelings with the pending possibility of equality backlash?
So one of the first things I would suggest about this, and I'm not saying that this is going to be easy to do, but try not to do too much what if and too much kind of future tripping, because that's just going to increase the anxiety. It's really important to just stay kind of in what's going on today. And so if you find that your mind is going to, okay, what if marriage equality is revoked? What if Roe v. Wade is revoked? Like, if you start going into all of these, you know, what if, what are they going to do? What are they going to do to us? Are they going to build the wall? For me, I kept thinking like there was going to be internment camps made for Muslims. You know, it's like, try to be careful of going into that too much, because it's just going to create more and more anxiety. So if you could just stay in the present as much as possible and what is actually going on today, you know, just today, right now, there's none of that happening. So let's just stay there. And then it's going to make it easier to get organized or get involved in whatever way that you do want to get involved by just staying more present. The anxiety and the fear and the what us can really disempower us. And that's not what you want to have happen to yourself right now. We want to stay as grounded and get as empowered as possible in light of what's going on.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have these kids now struggling after the election?
It's really, really important that these kids stick together and find their community and find what I like to call their tribe with each other and support each other at this time, so that they can also help each other grieve and, you know, feel less alone, right? Because we feel less alone with community. So that's a really important part. If they are finding an increase in their bullying at their school, so there's a couple things that they can do. First of all, if they have safe parents, be sure to tell those parents, because those parents can advocate for them and make sure that the school is notified about what's going on. There is a lot of change happening around bullying in schools these days because of the anti-bullying campaign. So a lot of times if the school is notified, they will do something about it right away. If that's not possible, find someone like a teacher that you're connected to and, you know, tell them. Find somebody in a place, in a position of power that can help you so that you're not going this alone. And then the last thing I want to say about this is there's a wonderful organization called the Trevor Project, and they are an online, an organization where you can, they're open 24/7. You can call them anytime, and they are for any suicidal thoughts that an LGBTQ teen may be having. They are there 24/7. They have qualified mental health practitioners on the line to help anyone that's really struggling and really in that kind of a crisis.
How can people get information about your practice?
So I have websites. I have one for my practice, which is drlaurencostine.com, and then I have one for my book, which is lesbianloveaddiction.com. And either one of those, you can email me, and my phone number's on there. You can call me to set up an appointment or set up a consultation or something like that.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
So my life's mission is to raise awareness for LGBTQ people and women around our trauma and how we can heal it. And, you know, I like to take sort of a historical, psychological, sociological approach. And, you know, I just am so passionate about making sure that everyone in our community and women in general can heal around living in such a sexist, misogynistic, heterosexist, and LGBTQ-phobic world. And, you know, how much that harms our psyches, really, and our sense of self. And so it's my life's work to raise awareness around that and consciousness around it and figure out ways that we can all heal from this. Because this is really the next revolution, is how we can all heal. And it's going to make us, you know, more effective leaders and more effective people in our community so that we don't keep having to deal with such horrible situations outwardly. You know, we have the resources inside of ourselves when setbacks like this happen. We know we can pull into ourselves and figure out how to use our own resilience to get through this.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
When we are dealing with our grief, one thing I do want to advise is not to get stuck in it as well. So while I'm saying it's really important to feel your feelings and not run away from your feelings, it's also really important to be as mindful as possible if you feel like you're getting stuck in it. And then that's the time to reach out for professional help or let your friends know that you're really stuck in this sadness, and then you can take some steps to move through it in an effective way.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I actually have two very short but beautiful quotes that I'd like to share with you. The first one is by Carl Jung, and it says, "Your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart. Who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens." My second quote is by lesbian poet and activist Audre Lorde, and it says, "When I dare to be powerful, to use my strength in the service of my vision, then it becomes less and less important whether I am afraid." To me, this quote is all about courage. And while so many of us are in so much fear and terror about what might happen under Trump's presidency, we have this opportunity to feel that fear and do what we want to do and get involved to make a difference anyway. And I think this is the tipping point that is so important. We're seeing it in the marches. We're seeing it in how people are rising up. There is an awareness growing in the world around all of the sexism and misogyny and LGBTQ phobias and oppression and discrimination that people have been experiencing their entire lives. There is a movement underway that is going to create great change from this horrible step back. And there's always step backs in revolutions, and there's always, we go two steps forward and then we go one step back, then we go three steps forward and then we go two steps back. And as disappointing and challenging and horrible as that can be, it also creates usually more awareness and understanding of what's really going on. Like I was saying, you know, things are being exposed that we've never known before or really understood before. And here's our opportunity to really heal and create long-lasting and sustainable change.